This podcast replay is brought to you by HialeahParkCasino.com, your entertainment destination. Casino, poker, dining, and simulcast racing so you can wager on some of the best tracks in the country. Go to HialeahParkCasino.com to sign up for promotions, giveaways, and events.
All right, all right, all right. There he is, the man, the myth, the legend that is Matt Verderam. Matt, how you feeling, baby? You feeling good?
Feeling good. I thought we were, for a brief moment, going to get to talk about Knicks Heat, the sequel. But alas, it is not to be. It is Knicks Sixers.
Can I ask you something? Because, you know, I've been in people's crawl down here for a while for some. And I'm interested to see how you look at it. Because you follow basketball. You know your basketball. Yeah. And you're a Knicks guy. Mm-hmm. And so you see a lot of the Heat over the years. And I love Bam Adebayo. I do. I love Bam Adebayo. And I tell people all the time, I love Bam Adebayo. But I get pissed at people, not at Bam. And the Heat does it. Some of our writers do it. I have Ira on, and he tries to sell me on. And my problem is that I think people keep miscasting Bam Adebayo, and they keep wanting him to be a star. And I call him a super role player. And it's a guy you want on your team. You need Charles Oakley, and you need Dennis Rodman, and you need P.J. Brown, and, you know, you need Udonis Haslam, and there are always guys you need on your team that you've got to have, that they're glue guys, are super important to you, but they're not the star. And I know he makes the Olympic team and all that crap, but when he goes to the Olympic team, he's not the guy taking over offensively. He never has been. And so I wonder, are you any one of those kind of people that think that Bam is a star, or he's a hell of a player, but it's a different kind of hell of a player. It's not really a franchise player. And I try to explain that. So I'm wondering, from an outsider's point of view, how do you view Bam?
I think he's a very good player. I view Butler as the only, like, true blue, that guy terrifies me player on Miami. Now, I honestly, as a Knicks fan, I don't know how people feel about this. I look at OG Anunoby in the same light that I look at Bam Adebayo.
Right.
Like a really good player. Like a guy that you'd pay significantly to have in the team. And in that case, in both their cases, like both phenomenal defensive players. But like guys that if you're like, yeah, we need 20 out of you every night, we're kind of concerned.
No.
Like you may not get 20 out of you. Like OG Anunoby, if the Knicks get 15 out of him every night, that's fine. That's if they get 15 out of him and all NBA defense, awesome. But like, do I think the Sixers are quaking in their boots facing Anunoby? Probably not. Maybe on the defensive side they are.
Right.
But on the offensive side, they're like, we got to stop Brunson. And I think when teams play in Miami, it's like, we got to stop Jimmy. And if we stop Jimmy, then we're in pretty good shape unless Miami starts shooting the lights out.
Right, if it's Tyler or Duncan especially, right, or whatever.
And you'll take that, you know, Terry Rozier, and you'll take that gamble.
Right.
Just like the Sixers in this series against the Knicks are going to say, we're going to let Dante DiVincenzo beat us. And if he beats us, we lose. That's what's going to happen. Like, if he beats us and Trey McBride beats us and Bogdan Bogdanovich beats us, we lose.
But Brunson cannot beat us. Right.
Right, but we will do everything imaginable to get the ball out of Jalen Brunson's hands.
Of course. Of course.
And the truly great players like Brunson and Butler, they're still going to score 30.
Right.
They're still going to find their way.
Yeah, yeah. Although I don't think Butler's that guy anymore. Even before the injury, all year long, I kind of think he's, unfortunately, kind of hit the wall already. It was time, bro. He had all those minutes, all those practice minutes with Thibodeau. He's got a lot of wear and tear on that body. And so it's been a phenomenal run that no Heat fan, no NBA fan could ever have predicted. That if I told you in the last 4 years the Heat were going to go to 3 conference finals and 2 NBA finals, you would have told me, you're smoking what? What? What drugs are you on? They won't even go to 1 conference final. Okay? And they overachieved, dude, to hell. So with 1 star. And by the way, having said all that, as much as Jimmy's been great, in a real breakdown, is Jimmy your number 1 star? On a team that really is led by stars. He's probably a 2. He's not a 1. He's not a Magic. He's not a Wade. He's not a Shaq. He's even a 2 in a real pecking order. And yet, he's carried this team like a 1 because that's all they've had.
No, I have not. I've been doing a million things today. So, like, I know, is there any news in terms of Butler's knee? Like, is he going to?
Not yet. Okay. We're waiting. We're waiting.
I will say this about him. I know the Celtics. Look, the Celtics are massive favorites against anybody they play in the East. If I'm the Celtics, the last thing I want to see is that guy. You know, I don't care. I know they'd be massive favorites. They should beat Miami. They should beat everybody in the East.
Yeah.
If I'm Boston, I'm praying for the Bulls, man.
Yeah.
The last thing in the world I want to see is that the Heat are better than anybody else in the NBA at playing above their weight. Yeah. It's incredible
how they do it in the playoffs. Look what he did yesterday. Look what Spo did yesterday. Whipped out that zone.
Should have won that game.
And he mucked it up. And the only way they could stay in that game is to play the ugly game. And that's exactly what they did. And they almost won it, bro.
It took Nick Batum scoring like 23, 24 points, whatever the hell it was. Guy averages 5.
Yeah.
Okay. That's what it took.
It took Nick Batum to play like he used to play 12 years ago, bro.
Yeah.
You know?
Truthfully, I mean, not that anybody in Miami cares. As a Knicks fan watching that game, I took away from that. If Embiid plays like that, it's over.
Yeah.
The Knicks should win the series. The Knicks should win that series if that's what Embiid looks like.
Yeah.
Good move.
Yeah. Yeah. No. Because he's still fresh from coming back from that injuries. He's not himself yet. No.
At that point, you just don't double him. And you make everybody else, and you just stick on Maxi and you stick on Harris and just say, go ahead.
Yeah. Yeah. You better control Maxi and Oubre too. Oubre at times can.
Oubre's dangerous. Yeah.
Oubre can get off at times. You know, that's the one thing that you look at. You got to be careful because the other day, Oubre killed Miami.
No, he can shoot. He can get hot. So it's, but I just look at Philly and think if Embiid plays like that, they just don't. If I'm the Knicks, I'm like, all right, that's fine. You're going to have your 25 points, but we're not letting you beat us any other way. It'll be interesting. If Randall was in the series, I'd feel great. But, of course, he's out for the year.
So. Right, exactly. And let me tell you something. With Boston, where I'm dead-ass wrong, because I didn't think they would be here, it's because I never thought Porzingis would last.
Yeah, I know. And well, that's kind of the thing.
Right? I'm kind of like, wow, he has stayed healthy the whole year, played well, and, like, well, he's the wild card. For them.
Oh, no question.
You know, and the wild card, you know, maybe I sapped it now. Maybe I gave him bad luck now, but the dude has stayed injury free, which is not, you know, he's unreliable. That's the reason why I don't like Porzingis. It's because he's always been unreliable. Look at Zion. Brother, he was having a hell of a game. And right at the moment you need him the most.
Gets hurt.
Dude, you can't do that. You know what I mean? And that's kind of the way I look at Porzingis. It's like, wow, man, he has not broken down. It's amazing. All right, let's get to football.
Let's go to football. Yep.
How much is this all bullshit, bro? Because it's usually like all this about quarterbacks. I know, you know, being a Dolphins fan and everybody talking about 21, hell, we're hoping McCarthy and every other Penix and every other quarterback in the world makes it in front of him because it starts – to push other players back for the Dolphins because they're going to need somebody. They're going to go for a D or O lineman. I'm pretty damn sure of that. And so we're praying for that. But what are you hearing? Because there's a bunch of these guys that I would not take that early. And I'm just wondering what the hell is really, what's real and what's Memorex, bro?
I think you're going to have 5 quarterbacks go before the Dolphins. I really do. I mean, I think you're certainly going to have 4. And then is it, you know, I think Michael Penix is more likely to go before Bo Nix. I really do. Like, I think Nix is that guy who you'll look at and say, could he go in the top 15? Maybe. Could he be the 40th pick in the draft? Possibly. Like, his range is all over the place. And I think there's a lot of... And so on and so forth on the offense. Powers Johnson, a guy who I think would be awesome for Miami, the interior offensive lineman, the center out of Oregon. Graham Barton, who can play center or can play left tackle. I think Miami's in a pretty good spot. I really do.
I agree with you there. I think they are in a good spot. And it is amazing to me Now, do you look at J.J. McCarthy as that guy also, just in case? Because I know you talked about five guys, because they're talking about McCarthy too. So you would put him in there too?
I think McCarthy's going to go on the top six picks.
Five, yeah, six, okay.
I mean, I think, look, I think you're going to have Williams at one for sure. And then after that, it's like, is it Daniels, is it May? But I don't even think it really matters in the sense that they're both top three picks. And then I think McCarthy, the worst, I think, is six to the Giants.
So are you buying Bo Nix, McCarthy, and Penix?
I'm buying the fact that McCarthy's going high.
Okay.
That's what I'm buying.
Okay.
Am I buying him as a player? I have real doubts. I won't say severe doubts. I have real doubts.
Okay.
I have real doubts when you are not one of the top handful of reasons your team won games.
So like you think he's Mark Sanchez?
I think based on his college tape, I think he's fine. Like I think he's like Kenny Pickett? I don't know. Kenny Pickett had one outrageous year with Pittsburgh.
Yeah, yeah. I saw times that Kenny Pickett did some shit there with less. You know, the reason why I mentioned Sanchez, because he was loaded at USC, and then then he got to the Jets, and they had a vicious defense, one of the great offensive lines, and a running game that all he had to do was manage. And then when he was put in those moments, he wasn't the guy. And so, you know, this guy was spoiled with a loaded Michigan team. There aren't moments where it looks like McCarthy's really, you know, carrying them. It's really more like he's just a conductor. And so that's kind of like the thing that you wonder, is he a lot like, you know, Dirty Sanchez there? And so that's the thing that scares me about J.J. McCarthy and some of these guys. Caleb, I look at Caleb and, dude, I don't care what anybody tells me. I look at Drake May and I see NFL quarterback there.
He can throw the football.
He can throw, dude.
Yeah, he can swing it.
Yeah, bro.
He would be my number two.
Yeah, he would be my number two. And then Jaden Daniels, I don't know enough about him. It's been kind of up and down for him a little bit. And so I know he's gotten better as it's gone on.
Yeah.
But then I start the other guys. I don't know, bro. Penix.
I'll tell you right now. McCarthy. And the more I talk to people in the NFL, the more I think this isn't a minority opinion. I would take Penix over Nix, and it wouldn't be close.
Okay.
I would take Penix over McCarthy. I would.
Okay.
Now I get why teams won't. He's 24. He's tore his ACL twice. I get it. I'm not even. I wouldn't take him in the top five. I don't think he's top five picking this draft. But like, I'd take him in the first round.
Right.
He was not very good in Indiana, largely because he was hurt a lot. When he went to Washington, now granted, this is a team that has tons of talent on it, okay? I mean, we're talking multiple big-time linemen, Polk, and Adunze, all the rest of it. But, man,
he can throw the ball.
Like, when you watch that kid throw the football, that ball is going somewhere.
Yeah.
Bo Nix, everybody's going to bring up the stats. Everybody's going to go, he threw for 45 touchdowns and three picks. If you watch Oregon, a lot of it is like, hey, man, get the ball out of your hands. Manufactured reads. Like, don't have to do a whole hell of a lot to rack up a whole bunch of statistics. Like, it's like back in the day when quarterbacks would come out of the University of Houston, right? And it would be like, you know, Andre Ware or a David Klingler type. And you'd be, oh, my God, these numbers. And then you'd watch them. Yeah, but I don't know. Bo Nix at Auburn, where I watched many games, he was not good.
Pedestrian.
And I mean like flat out, like not like decent. Yeah. Like he can't play. He couldn't play at Auburn. And then went to Oregon and the offense changed and everything was great. I think if you're going to draft Bo Nix, you better have a team where he can just play point guard, where he's just, I'm going to drop back and everything's defined for me. And I can just, like a San Francisco type thing, where it's just, hey, boom, boom, boom. Now he's not going to the Niners, but that kind of a scheme. If he goes somewhere like Denver, everybody's been talking about, the Denver loves him. He goes to Denver, good luck, man. I mean, who Cortland Sutton and who? You and me?
Yeah, no.
Where's the ball going?
Yeah.
This
is going to end up like the other guys that they've picked lately. The what's the name of the kid that they had there recently?
In Denver?
Huh?
In Denver?
Yeah, in Denver.
Yeah. Oh, God. They've had a million quarterbacks. They had Trevor Siemian.
Draft picks. The kid, Drew Locke.
Paxton Lynch.
Drew Locke and Paxton Lynch. Locke.
Yeah,
that's
sure.
it.
Yeah.
This is going to go the Drew Locke, Paxton Lynch way, bro.
But the one thing with Locke, and you know, he hasn't been good, he had a cannon.
Yeah, he's got skills, bro. Yeah. yeah.
I watched Bo Nix at the Senior Bowl, and I'm not trying to really bag on him, but like that arm is not, like you're not fearing Bo Nix throwing the ball on a seam route here. Like, that's the one thing I will say.
Drew Locke and Paxton Lynch. They both had athletic ability. Yeah. You're right.
The problem with Paxton Lynch, the game was like eight times too fast.
Right. He couldn't.
I remember watching his first preseason game and thinking like this is over. It's a preseason game and he can't figure out what the hell to do in the pocket. No, I would say the one thing about this draft from a quarterback perspective that I think is incredibly undersold. Look, put Williams aside for a minute because we know he's going to the Bears. Fine.
Yeah, no, that's
the rest of these guys. I think if you're the quarterback, whether you're May, whether you're Knicks or Penix, whether you're Daniels, you know where I want to go? I want to go to Minnesota. That's where I want to go. Put me on a team with Jefferson, with Addison, with Darrisaw as my left tackle, with Hockenson at tight end, and Kevin O'Connell as my offensive mind. I want to go there. That is, to me, that's the one way in my mind. Like if McCarthy goes there, he'll be fine. Because O'Connell will just get the most out of him, and they've got a ton of weapons. Like, how hard is it to be, hey, man, JJ is 25 yards downfield, throw it to him. I think that's the one situation, and I think that's so underrated when we talk about this stuff. Like, if he goes to New England, who is he throwing to? You've got a first-year defensive-minded head coach, and you have nobody. Like, that to me, we talk about all these guys, is he going to bust, is he going to be a star? Where's he going? Because the same kid going to Minnesota and going to New England, I give you two vastly different outcomes.
Yeah, I'm with you there. If you're the Dolphins, do you think my boy Latu from UCLA is there at 21? Because I'm thinking him, I'm thinking Guyton, I'm thinking Jackson Powers Johnson. I don't know if the Latham kid from Alabama will last. I don't think so.
If he does, I think you take him to heart.
And I don't think Jared Verse, unless we can slip maybe a crack pipe on him, and maybe Jared Verse can fall to 21. But
I don't think Verse is getting there.
Yeah, I don't think so either. So do you think my boy Latu is the guy I really want at 21?
So I did my one and only serious mock draft where I actually tried to like get it right, which of course I'm going to get like five picks, right? It's the nature of these things.
Right.
So Latu was available at 21.
What'd you take for us?
So was Latham.
You took an alignment for us, an O-lineman?
I took for you guys, I took Jackson Powers Johnson.
Yeah.
He was the one. I Latham was there. I was like, maybe. I just feel like there's such a need in the interior for the Dolphins. And that kid to me is awesome. Like I'm plugging that guy in. I think he's going to make a half dozen Pro Bowls. You know? Yeah. I just think the center position is maybe the most underrated position in the NFL. People don't realize the amount of work those guys do play in and play out. And I think if Powers Johnson's there, I'm taking him if I'm Miami. That's the guy. I just think he makes so much sense. I'm with you on Latu, by the way. I think he is going to be fantastic.
I love him.
I had him going later in the first round, but I saw him at the Senior Bowl. That kid, you're going to make an argument he's the best player at Senior Bowl that week. I don't have a problem
with any of those guys. If you take Jackson Power Johnson, if you take Latu, if you take Tyler Guyton, if J.C. Latham lasts there, I have no problem taking any of those guys. If by some miracle Jared Verse falls there, which I doubt it, I have zero. I think they have at 21, I don't think they're going to trade out. I think they're going to stay there because there's a really good chance you're going to get a heck of a player, dude.
I agree. I don't think they'll move out either. Yeah. And I wouldn't. If I was the Dolphins, I wouldn't move out.
Yeah, the second round pick, I can see them, you know, making a little trade and picking up an extra third rounder or something. I can see something like that since they don't have a third or a fourth. I can see them moving down in the second because when you get to that second round area where they're at, now it starts to kind of look kind of the same, a guy there or a guy 10 spots down. So if you can move 10 spots down and pick up an extra third or two-fourths or whatever the hell it is, I think they're going to do that. But I don't think they move from 21 because they know they're going to get themselves a starter there at that point.
Yeah. Look, I'll tell you this. I've talked to a lot of people in the league, and every year I ask guys, like, what do you think in terms of the class? Where's the drop-off? And a lot of you, I remember last year, it was like pick 75. A lot of people said around pick 75, pick 80. This year, the answers have ranged a little bit more, but it's been mostly between like 110 to 125. So you're basically, it's a really deep class. I've had people tell me, look, this class depth-wise is one of the best classes in a long time. In terms of, you know, that 100 to 125, which is probably, you know, that's about end of the third round to the middle of the fourth, somewhere in there. But then people also will tell you that after that, it drops off a cliff. It drops, I mean, like, because you have so many of these kids who have played 6 years in college because of all these COVID years and everything else.
Yeah.
You know, I've had people say, look, you're going to have kids to go to the fifth round this year who normally would be undrafted. Like, I mean, I think you're going to see a lot of teams try to move up and package later picks. The question is, how many teams are open for business? Like, if I'm sitting there and I've got a pick that's 95, I'm not willing to go 20 picks back.
Right.
I don't want to go 20 picks back. I don't care how many sixth rounders you'll give me.
You're going to have to give me some for next year earlier is probably what it is.
Right. And that's the question. Like, how many teams will take? So, like, for an example, the Bills have an extra second next year because of the Diggs trade. The Chiefs have an extra third because of this need trade. How, like, do Bean or Veach, do they say, hey, we'll take those picks and cash them in now and move up now? For people who don't know, a lot of times those picks, if you have to wait a year, they're kind of devalued by a round. So, like, the Bills' second-round pick will be looked at as, like, trading this year's third-round pick.
Right.
And the Chiefs' third-rounder from Tennessee will look like a fourth-rounder. So that's kind of the value that it works in there. But, yeah, I would not be surprised at all if some of these teams that have extra picks next year, they're expecting to have compensatory picks next year, if they're willing to kind of take some of those chips and move them forward because they're trying to move up and get an extra pick in this year's top, you know, 125 or so.
Good shit. All right, what do you got going on in Sports Illustrated, my man?
Got my mock draft up today, which, you know, people can check out. I'll tweet it out here in a second, so if people want to check that out, they can. It's my one and only. I did do an all-trades mock on Tuesday, which is just me mocking mock drafts.
I saw that
one. Every pick got traded. It was chaos. I had fun with that one, but this one's a legitimate one. Other than that, man, check out SI.com all week long for everybody's work, but also Thursday night next week, I'll have the draft grades, instant draft grades. I'll have my favorite picks, my least favorite picks, best available for day two. I'm going to be all over the place, annoyingly so. So go ahead and check it out.
He will be like Sagwa Fair. He's everywhere. Follow him on Twitter at Matt Verderam and catch his work there at Sports Illustrated. Matt, as always, thank you, my brother. Have a great week. We'll talk next week. Draft time.
That's right. Take care, man.
You got it, baby. There you go. Matt Verderam. Good stuff as always.